across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, July 8th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're listening through the Civic Media app or watching us on our social media video feed or checking us out later by podcast, we thank you for taking us along and getting your week started. I got a question for you. Was it a good July 4th weekend? Was it a good long weekend? Did you get enough time off of work, get to visit with friends, family? Did you turn 60 and have a big birthday bash? We'll talk a bit about all that has happened since we last visited on Friday morning. And along the way, if you'd like to join us with your questions or comments, as always, the phone line number is 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC. Do feel free to give us a call or send us a text to that same number. You can also use the Civic Media app, or you can watch on social media on Facebook or YouTube. And if you put a comment there, we'll see it and maybe put that up on screen as well. Coming up this morning, some of the press chatter notwithstanding, it actually was not a great week for the far right around Wisconsin or around the world for that matter. We'll talk about how a Dane County judge ruled parts of Act 10 to be unconstitutional, putting its future in jeopardy, and about damn time. The state Supreme Court reinstated ballot drop boxes, and the justices also smacked down legislative Republicans for holding up tax dollars for certain programs. In the United Kingdom, the Tories were routed after 16 years in power, and voters in France came together over the weekend to stop its far-right party from taking over the government there. And in our second hour, we will talk about some constitutional mischief going on here in Wisconsin. There are all kinds of ways that you can engage in political tricks when you don't have the support of the voters. You can, you know, rig the maps, something known as gerrymandering. You could obstruct voting rights. You could stack the courts with political ideologues. Another trick involves using the referendum process to try to trick voters into passing constitutional amendments that are nothing more than a quiet power grab. And that's what's happening in Wisconsin here. Normally, we would treat the August primary as a rather quiet affair, except for those places where there are contested primaries. But from now until the August primary, which would be August 13th, from now till then, you're going to hear a lot about why you should vote on that day in August. Even if there isn't a primary election, there will be these two constitutional amendments. And if you don't vote, and if they end up passing and becoming part of the Constitution, it's going to be that much easier for legislative Republicans to hold hostage more money that is designed for places other than tax cuts for the rich. So we'll explain that coming up during our 7 o'clock hour. We'll have Brittany Merlot's forecast, of course, and so much more, including the latest in the foibles of the Senate candidacy of one Eric Hovde. Temperatures at 6 a.m. around Wisconsin go like this. Here on Lake Wissota, it is 65 degrees. Hayward's at 55. Park Falls, you're at 60. Wausau, 63. Green Bay, 70. La Crosse, 69. Wisconsin Rapids, 66. Oshkosh, 68. Madison, 70. Amory, 63, and in Waukesha, it is 64 degrees, where you will find the studios of WAUK, The Shaw, and where you will also find one Greg Bach, resplendent in his latest addition to his wardrobe, his new Brewers jersey, and back from a well-rested weekend. We hope, and I say hope, because it occurs to me we're also going to talk today about my latest home maintenance disaster.
What?
But maybe Greg's weekend was more relaxing, Mr. Buck. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. First of all, once again, happy birthday. I know it was last
Thank
week,
you.
And I already, but still.
It's still. It was a big weekend.
It's a
Thank
big
you.
Weekend for Pat Kreitlow.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was an interesting week. So the club was closed last week, so
right.
it meant going home right after the radio. It meant I hosted Matt and Aaron Air on Friday, but I did it from home, so I didn't have to get up early and I didn't have to drive here, and it was nice and fun. And I thank Luke Mathers for being on the show, and but it just went so fast. And after Friday was done, we had to I had to start getting ready for having people over. We didn't have anyone over on the 4th. We just took it easy and we actually cleaned the house and did stuff. And then Friday we had people over, and I christened the grill.
Nice.
And it was good overall. I kept on asking people, like, I'm like, please be honest. Tell me if it's good. I don't want to kill anyone. I kept using my thermometer.
My burger has that new grill taste to it. You know? Yeah.
I pre-burned.
Tastes good.
Yeah. I actually didn't eat a whole lot because I was in the garage grilling, expecting rain, which we really didn't get. Mm-hmm. And it was fast. It was Sunday before we knew it was Sunday, and then we had a mishap with we bought a brand new dishwasher this weekend, and I have an email to send a company that I won't say their name on air, but it rhymes with Schmlows. And yeah, so it was a fine weekend, a little stressful, wish there was more time, but
homeownership, man.
Yeah. Yep. But ultimately thankful for the time off. It was fun.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. We had both daughters here and all the grandkids.
Nice.
Including a blended family, the daughters of one of my daughters, who brought her boyfriend out here and brought a couple of daughters along with. So we kind of had a Brady Bunch thing going on with even more kids. And it was all going so well. Well, it continues to go well. One daughter and family have gone home. The other's sticking around for a couple of days. But it was all going well. And then we were down in the basement watching. The kids were watching a movie, so we were down there just checking up on everybody. Because they range in age from 2 to 17. So, you know, the 2-year-old's playing with Barbie dolls. And, you know, the 17-year-olds are watching some movie or something. And we noticed a leak. Sherry's watching, and she looks over, and it's like it was leaking on her shoulder. And we look up, and there's some water on we've got the false ceiling there. Yeah. So we move one of the panels out of the way, and a bunch of water comes, not a bunch, but you know, a good amount, a cup or two of water, worth of, starts to pour out. We're like, what is going on? And we realize one of the grandkids is upstairs in the shower.
Mm.
And we thought, now we just fixed the shower. It's 10 years old. The caulking had started to give way and water was running in. And we thought, well, did they not do a great job caulking it up? But we go and we look after the one kid's shower is done. It all seems fine and it seems much worse. So it appears to be from something inside the wall, like the shower valve, or maybe the pipe that leads to the hand attachment or something. So that's our first call after the show today, is to somebody who might have to tear apart a wall to get to a nasty shower leak. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, but hey, home ownership.
it's great. Yep. Calling a plumber on a Sunday on a holiday weekend saying, can you come on someday and...
That was the worst case. It was like, what if it didn't stop when the shower was done? You know? And then we would have had to call somebody. But thankfully, you put a couple of buckets out and a towel and call it good till Monday. We'll make it. I know. Here's hoping anyway.
Yeah.
But that part all went well. But yeah, the party, I mean, Sherry's sleeping in this morning, thankfully. But I could not possibly thank her enough for putting on something. You know what? I didn't save one of the best parts here to show you. I was going to have two visual aids. One of them was, and this was her just being funny, but one of the napkin, the party napkins, you know, happy 60. This one says, making America great since 1964, you know, things that she does just to maybe needle me a little bit. But then she opens up the box of cupcakes and they all have little Pat Kreitlow heads on sticks, on little toothpicks, and with a little party hat on there. I'll have to show that to you later. So that was funny. But yeah, it was a great turnout of where you get all the groups that don't normally interact. You know, you get the neighbors. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, my family there. Sherry's family was there. Some folks from TV 13 were there. A couple of college friends came up that I haven't seen in forever. And it was great to introduce them all around because, I mean, not to be maudlin or anything, but you normally see something like that at a funeral. It's like, oh, how do you know, or a wedding or things like that. So to be able to get people from different parts of your life together and introduce them to each other mm-hmm. was a pretty cool thing.
See, that's very cool. I always get very anxious when friend groups mix because I'm like,
oh, I was anxious.
I want them to all get along, but I also mm-hmm. feel the need to be like, are you guys doing okay? How are you guys doing? Are you? Does anybody need a drink? And then someone says, hey, this is your party. Can you mm-hmm. stop acting like... like a busboy right now.
Yes. I have to admit, I didn't do the busboy part of it. I you know, left that to Sherry and some folks, and you know, I trusted them. But it's still the need to mingle and to not look like, oh, they're looking at me. I sat too long with this group, so I've got to go over and talk to these folks over here. And by the end of the day, you're just like, that's enough of that. But we christened the new fire pit, you know, that that we built. So we had a nice little thing going there. And then the next morning, the party was Saturday, so this would have been Sunday morning yesterday. First one awake, of course, even though I didn't have a radio show to do. Finally went through the gift bags and all the cards and so many kind messages. So many bottles of brown fluid. You people clearly have an opinion about me. That's probably well deserved. But also, you know, some things like a nice new insulated coffee mug that I'll have to wash out and display. A nice book that somebody gave me. There were some folks that are definitely not sports fans, and so for sarcasm purposes, they gave me an autographed baseball. And I gave them much credit for knowing that Brett Favre, you know, used an object like that when he won the Stanley Cup, because they're not really good sports fans. But all in all, just a really nice time, and I'm so appreciative for everybody that made that special and all the festivities since then. But while we're on the subject of baseball, you know what? No, I'm going to wait till after the break here, okay. Because not only did the Brewers salvage a game against the LA Dodgers, but you know, did it with the long ball, as they like to say in sports cliche land.
With gusto.
So we'll play a couple of yesterday's home runs as the Brewers took one out of three from the Dodgers, who, again, I mean, the Dodgers and the Brewers are right up there at the top of the National League. So it was a great series overall. They're off today before they begin a 6-game homestand into the All-Star break. Let me tell you more about that, and then we'll unpack some of the news as well. Coming up in just over a minute, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We will tell you why Jerry Rafferty is part of today's history lesson for this July 8th, coming up in about 30 minutes. You can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news by signing up for the daily newsletter put together by Up North News. Go over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. In this morning's edition, we talk about the link between a changing climate and homelessness and some of the changes that can be made to help mitigate the increase in homelessness that occurs as you have more terrible, severe weather. So sign up for that again over at upnorthnewswi.com. And speaking of severe weather, we'll talk about the Manawa Dam at some point this morning as well, and hope that everybody's doing well with the cleanup that followed that dam failure. So over the weekend, the Brewers were in L.A. taking on the Dodgers. The Dodgers took 2 out of 3, but the Brewers were winners yesterday 9-2 because of home runs by Christian Yelich and Blake Perkins. Wait, you don't believe me? Let me prove it. First off, Christian Yelich as part of Sunday's home run parade.
Time for Christian Yelich to be swinging the bat like he is.
Fly ball deep center. Back pot, Hayes, still back and gone. Back-to-back days with homers for Christian Yelich, and the Brewers strike first in L.A.
And then there was also Blake Perkins. By the way, both Yelich and Perkins, they homered. They each had three hits, and they each drove in three runs. Here's the home run by Blake Perkins.
That's from a movie.
Perkins, left field, deep, and out of here. Blake Perkins. That's a smooth operator. 5-2 Brewers go. On Perkins homer.
And again, that made it 5-2. The Brewers would go on to a 9-2 victory. Roger writes in on Facebook, good morning, gentlemen. I know Brewers fans feel Bryce Durang was snubbed for the All-Star game next week. He'll likely take Mookie Betts' spot because he's injured. I wasn't really going to get into the All-Star roster today, but I think that's a really good point. There were a couple of Brewers that were rather deserving. And again, you've got a week to go yet. We may still get a couple of more teammates up there yet.
Yeah, I think that, Tony Zimmerman on the live stream, smooth operator. That's how I know I can. There's always the dream of being a baseball guy, like the big color guy, like, you know, watching a game and giving all the up to the second what's happening. And I'm like, I could never come up with smooth operator. Be like, smooth operator.
No, you get instead that sports clip that they like to play about the young college kid doing play-by-play. Yeah. You know, he takes the ball, passes it to the man, and boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite. It's just,
okay. He hit
the ball.
Yeah, he hit the ball. Leave it to the professionals there. The Brewer victory yesterday broke a 7-game losing streak at Dodger Stadium. Let's see. Yelich is one of the NL starting outfielders. On the Brewer 6-game road trip, he batted .400, basically 11 for 28 with 3 homers, 5 RBI. Starter Dallas Keuchel didn't allow a run in 4 1/3 innings of work, giving up 3 hits, walking 5. The Brewers are off today. Then they're home for 6 games before the All-Star break. There will be 3 against Pittsburgh starting tomorrow, then 3 against the Washington Nationals at American Family Field before next week's big game. Giannis Antetokounmpo is now an Olympian. The Milwaukee Bucks superstar is headed to the Olympics for the first time after scoring 23 points for Greece as they held off Croatia on Sunday for one of the final qualifying tournament rounds held to determine the 12-team field for the Paris Games. So congratulations to Giannis for making it to the Olympics. All right, I mentioned the Manawa Dam. People living downriver have been allowed back into their homes following an evacuation order. Many now face the daunting task of cleaning up flooded basements. The dam along the Little Wolf River was breached on Friday by rainwaters that flooded through created an estimated 50-foot wide portion of the dam, taking it out. That came after 5 inches of rain fell in just a few hours earlier on Friday. Dozens of homes were temporarily evacuated, but thankfully there were no reports of injuries following Friday's dam breach. On Friday, as you know by now, President Joe Biden came to the Madison area, delivered a speech, did a couple of interviews. The chatter continues, of course, about President Biden's poor debate performance and what it means moving forward. We've already had that discussion here. What it means moving forward is that President Biden is the sitting president, the presumptive nominee of the party, has no intention of stepping aside, but that we all like to engage in parlor games. But right now, it's not about parlor games. It's about the state of our democracy, and it's about a genuine threat to that democracy, and whether voters can and will come together to set aside a real threat to the stability of their government and perhaps their economy and much more. That's certainly what we saw over this past week or so with elections in the United Kingdom and in France over the weekend, where in both cases it looked like far-right parties could make some gains, but 16 years of conservative control in the United Kingdom ended with a landslide by Labour. And in France, a last-minute coalition came together as the left and center-left put aside their differences to make sure that the far-right party could not gain power in France. And that's where we need to continue that discussion here on whether we're going to essentially stave off folks who would look for all those who want there to be the 2028 elections now when we won't have Biden or Trump probably on the ballot. You can't rush that. And by the way, if the elections don't go well this November, there's a chance we won't even be talking about 2028 elections. The threat is that extreme. But on some better news, political conservatives in Wisconsin were dealt setbacks in 3 different court cases this week. The Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday reinstated absentee ballot drop boxes and rejected Republican legislative efforts to block funding for certain land conservation programs. And then on Wednesday, a Dane County judge ruled that provisions of Act 10 are unconstitutional, raising doubts about the eventual fate of former Governor Scott Walker's public sector union-busting law. As far as the drop boxes go, the ruling is a reversal for a court which has been under conservative control for many years until the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. A couple of years ago, the conservatives who ruled the court said that drop boxes could only be placed in local election clerks' offices and that no one other than the voter could return a ballot in person. Now, under progressive control, the court determined on a 4-3 vote that officials can place ballot boxes around their communities as they see fit in this fall's elections. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, one of the court's four liberal justices, wrote for the majority that placing a ballot in a drop box that is set up and maintained by a clerk is no different than giving a ballot to the clerk, regardless of the box's location. Meanwhile, Dane County Judge Jacob Frost ruled against the constitutionality of certain parts of Act 10 last week, the state law that for practical purposes wiped out collective bargaining rights for many, but not all, public sector unions. And it was the exceptions that the judge noted, putting Act 10's future on shaky ground. While most unions were labeled general in the law, Republican legislators also created a public safety label and applied it to some law enforcement and firefighter unions, all of whom supported Walker in the 2010 election that made him governor. But yet Capitol Police, UW Police, conservation wardens, they in many ways have the same authority as other law enforcement, but they were put into the general category. And that's an unfair application of the law of equal protection. And it does mean that in later court filings, Act 10 may be in real trouble. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us after this. You're up north. Woman. Oh, baby, baby, let me be your love and teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be. Oh, let him be. We'll tell you why that Elvis Presley song is part of today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. But as always, it's a Monday morning, 6:34, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us, OBGYN, candidate for Congress, supermom, world traveler. Her travels have now taken her to Milwaukee, I believe, where she's continuing her efforts to spread the word about what she's doing in the 8th District and what we can do following some of the news headlines, and we're going to talk about those news headlines in just a moment. But first, Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
Good morning. It's been Milwaukee, Wasaki, Milwaukee, Pensaki, Milwaukee. That's what my weekend has looked like. How was your weekend?
I stayed here and got to enjoy cupcakes with little Pat Kreitlow heads on them as I hold them up for the camera here with little party hats. That's what
those
Sherry.
Those are the best. Your wife is the most wonderful, incredible human being.
She is. She's funny. She puts on a great party. I was doing show and tell here. This is the new thermal coffee mug. Talk about packaging. This thing is in a cardboard package, like the size of an old can of coffee, you know, and it's a lot of packaging for one little mug. But here's the thing. Scott Ross came up from Madison. He brought me two of these, the spicy cheese bread from the Dane County Farmers Market.
Good.
So let me tell you something. 8:01 this morning, or whenever all the kids start to wake up, I am going to make them the best breakfast sandwiches they've ever had. You put a sausage. You bake the bread, get the cheese all gooey, get the bread all gooey.
Then
you slice it open, and in the middle, you put a fried egg and a sausage patty and some cheese.
And then like an hour later, we're going to call and be like, everyone's sleeping.
They're going to go right back to sleep. We've got the 17-year-old here, and just, I love the kid, but boy, that he sleeps. He's got that thing mastered, man. Yeah. He really does.
Yeah. Day, night, doesn't matter. Sleeping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the thing.
That's okay. They're growing. He, I mean, the little boy, he's such a young man now. He loves his weightlifting class. And so as we were moving furniture around for the party, I'm watching him and it's like watching Popeye after the spinach, you know, he's just got no problem moving things around that Sherry and I were huffing and puffing with before the party, putting things away. Hey, Mason, can you do this? Yep. No problem. And he makes it look easy. It's just,
yeah, bro. I got it, yep. Man. Yep.
So. It was. It really was. Kristen, I hadn't been paying much attention to the headlines. It was actually one of your social media posts expressing your concern and willingness to help out in Manawa that brought me to the occasion of the dam that breached there. So, I mean, again, whether you're in news or media or a candidate, I mean, you know how life can change in an instant. Suddenly you have to shift gears in what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. We were just there actually for the 4th of July parade in Waupaca, and the dam broke the next day. The Manawa Rodeo is this weekend. This is a huge, huge, devastating problem for the people in the region. Mm-hmm. That rodeo is an incredibly important part of their economic livelihood in the region. So it has been really hard, but you know what people do in central Wisconsin? They just pull up their bootstraps and they figure it out. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
luckily, no lives lost. So right. Thankfully that is at least one bright spot.
No, the resilience is very nice and admirable. And we'll talk about some of the other headlines that are in the news, some of which we covered already, drop boxes and things like that. But one that I hadn't mentioned yet that happened, again, right before our long weekend break, was that the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that it would consider the constitutional right to an abortion. They accepted a petition for original action from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and will consider the question of a state constitutional protection for bodily autonomy, including the right to abortion. Kristen, is this a big deal?
It's a huge deal. Would that be a game changer here in Wisconsin to know that our Constitution protects our right to bodily autonomy? Logically, that makes sense, but clearly that's not the world that we've been living in. So I'm very, very excited about this case, and also that they have decided to take up the case that I am a party on, that I'm a plaintiff on, the 1849 criminal abortion ban that was deemed unenforceable in Dane County Circuit Court, but has since been elevated, and the Supreme Court will be considering that as well.
So remind folks of your role as an intervener, if I remember the parlance correctly.
Yes, it's like a plaintiff. So I joined with the Attorney General on the 1849 criminal abortion ban to determine whether the district attorneys in the individual counties would prosecute this antiquated law from 1849. And I am the one individual, the one physician who has standing, which means that it affects me personally and it affects my patients personally. So I have a reason to bring it. There are two other wonderful physicians who are on this case and who are also personally affected, but they are in Milwaukee, and the DA in Milwaukee County has said that he will not prosecute. So it's between me and DA Joel Ermansky in Sheboygan.
And now, again, that just tells you the importance of every single election, including this state Supreme Court election, which flipped control of the court. And now you have a court that's also has already decided to do things like reinstate absentee ballot drop boxes, which, again, this is something that never should have happened. And again, makes you wonder about what is it about Donald Trump, the allure or the temptation or whatever it is? Republicans were all for drop boxes before Donald Trump was against them. And then they were mm-hmm. against them. And so the Wisconsin Supreme Court was against them until voters kind of righted the ship and reminded everybody of, you know, where things were pre-Trump in this world.
Isn't that wild?
It is.
I tweeted about it. I just tweeted, drop boxes are back in Wisconsin. And some of the comments that came up just defy understanding. The cheat is on. The steal is happening. Democrats are cheaters. No, we just want to vote in a secure way. And I don't know about you guys, but I have a ballot drop box up at the top of the hill. It is secure. It's like a security box at a bank. Like, it's in a building. I had been putting my ballot in my mailbox outside my house, which is not secure. But I mean, that was considered more like it defies common sense. And that is one of the most curious things about this whole thing and about really the Trump movement. These ideas that people have that are locked into sayings or quips that don't make sense in the real world when you actually start to unpack it.
Well, and that's why I mentioned the elections last week, last Wednesday in the United Kingdom and over the weekend in France, that it's one thing for the media to say, you know, the far right is making these advances and, oh, it's going to be close and adding all this drama. And by the end of it, in both cases, voters said, no, we got this. And that mm-hmm. at some point, voters can overcome the chatter, the quote unquote conventional wisdom that you see out there in the media and say, hey, what does this actually mean to me and my life? And that's when we're going to see a difference on election day.
We were seeing a ton of this over the weekend. So we were, like I said, we were in Wasaki, we were in Wapaka, we were in Gillett, all of these small towns up north that people think are deeply red. But as I was having conversations with regular folks who live there who have differing opinions, the one thing that people want is common sense. They want to have these conversations. They want understanding and they want to build that sense of community. So the more we have these conversations, the more we come physically together to talk with one another, the more we will build that and the more we'll be able to educate voters and make sure that people are voting on the things that they truly care about.
Greg, you wanted to jump in here at some point on this.
Oh, we talked about it on Friday on Jane's show with Dan Schaefer. It just had broke that the Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court, came down with this. And the thing that we talked about on that show and we've talked about before is that Brian Schimming, who's in charge of the Wisconsin Republican Party, has been embracing the idea of banking your vote, voting early, because they realize this narrative of early voting is stealing and theft, as you saw in your comments, Dr. Lyerly. And I just don't understand how they're, you know, they have to square their move of, and in the article that I read, it says some top Republican leaders are saying, you know what, if it's legal to do it, then you should vote via Dropbox. So now they have this narrative from the Wisconsin GOP saying, it's fine, you can do it, go ahead, bank that vote, against a guy who's running around the country saying this is theft, this is election fraud. And I don't understand how they're going to make it work between with their base to say, go out and vote early. Be like, no, why are you telling us this? The Donald Trump said it's bad.
Mm-hmm. It's like this split, like it doesn't make any sense. I mean, IVF is another example of this. Mm-hmm. You know, you're hearing the Trump camp because they know it's not popular to be against IVF, but you also hear people who are those deeply religious folks like the Southern Baptists who just came out very firmly against IVF. So how do you rectify that if you're just using it for a political purpose and you're not actually listening to common sense and what you actually need in life?
Right. And it takes time for the obvious to again become commonplace. And that takes me to the Dane County judge ruling last week that parts of Act 10 are unconstitutional. And I mean, obviously, Kristen, you've been following Wisconsin politics a lot longer than, you know, your time as a candidate, and know that there was always something blatantly unbalanced about Act 10, but it took years and a bit of a change in court structure for a legal challenge to make it the way that it has. But it just seems so obvious that if you're going to carve out exemptions in Act 10 for some police public safety unions, but not for others, at some point that can't stand.
It can't. You know instinctively it's not right. I talk to my partner about this all the time. He's a police officer up in Green Bay, and he knows. He's like, well, I know it's not fair, but it did benefit us, but that I don't feel good about it. You know, like on a human individual level, you know it's wrong. So let's just write it. That's what we do here in Wisconsin. We fix these problems and we bring it together.
Yeah. To the extent that we can, because again, sometimes things get in the way, like, you know, gerrymandered maps and things like that.
So but we fixed that too, Pat.
I know.
It's a process. Be
it
patient.
Took time. Yeah. Trust the process that eventually it all works out. But that gets, I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm a Star Wars fan. I've watched movies about the slow, incremental writing of wrongs over many, many millennia. So I understand what it's like to take down an empire. I have patience. I know we can do this. Okay? You're welcome, Star Wars nerds. I brought it all back to the motherland.
I love it. And then the Wisconsin Supreme Court as well ruled on one of the many cases where legislative Republicans are holding funds hostage. In this case, it was limited just to a certain part of the land stewardship program, and the state Supreme Court saying, hey, look, that money's already spoken for. The executive branch gets to use it. The legislative branch can't stand in the way. The way that they are with the PFAS funds, the way they are with the literacy money, the way they are with the hospital money, and now they want to do it to all kinds of things like the old American Rescue Plan funds. If these constitutional amendments were to pass next month in August, it's just, again, indicative of a party not looking to solve anything, but just saying, how can we be an impediment to solving things? It just strikes me as odd.
Mm-hmm. They're grasping at straws right now. And this is a great reminder for folks to take a very close look at those referendum questions. They're confusing. They're worded in a very difficult way to understand how to vote. But here's my advice to you. No, no.
Whoa.
There you go. Like, we're just going to isolate that and do a GIF right there. It's just Kristen Lyerly saying no, no.
What do you think about those constitutional amendment ballot questions? No.
See, I was just going to, I think we should re-rack the late great comedian John Panette and just go nay, nay. Just a lot of nay, nay on everything.
What a deep cut.
I know. But I mean, talk about a comedian that
he
I miss.
So good. Sorry. He was so good.
Didn't mean to get off track, but yes, no, no, nay, nay. However you want to express it, that's what we do about constitutional mischief in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But to do it, I mean, you've got to convince a lot of folks to show up in August who would not normally show up in August. Now, they're going to in legislative district races. They're going to in the 3rd congressional district where there's a big primary. But yeah, now the word's got to get out for the next several weeks here about this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Get people not to. All right. Well, Kristen Lyerly's with us. Selena Heller's going to join us next. We're going to have today's history lesson coming up. And then more in our next hour about the proposed constitutional amendments as well. And then we wrap things up with Terry Bell's 3 things you need to know to get the week started. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a couple instances where Elvis Presley shows up in today's history lesson. It was on this day in 1954 that a disc jockey named Dewey Phillips at WHBQ in Memphis became the first DJ to play an Elvis Presley record, spinning this song, That's All Right Mama, on his Red Hot and Blue show. The switchboard went crazy. And so he kept playing the song, and Elvis got some prime publicity early in his career. And then 3 years later on this day, July 8th, 1957, Elvis's Let Me Be Your Teddy Bear hit number one, which is why we were playing that one a little bit earlier. Selena Heller joins us from Eau Claire. Kristen Lyerly is with us as well. Greg Bach, all here on Up North News Radio for today's history lesson. Ms. Heller, how was your holiday weekend?
Oh, very nice. Enjoyed the weather and went on some ATV, UTV trails and went to the drive-in in Chautauq. So Clark County trails. So full of everything.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You were on the Clark County trails?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned about them now. I mean, yesterday, hour after hour, I think we're all familiar with the concept of training with thunderstorms, you know, where just like they keep popping up over the same spot and you know, moving on from there. And that was Clark County last night. I mean, just thunderstorm after thunderstorm after thunderstorm. So I'm betting the trails are a little haphazard today, shall we say.
I think they were the whole weekend. They were really muddy, lots of deep holes. And I realized this was my anniversary of my crash on the ATV trails wherein I broke my back.
Oh, wow.
So a big mud hole, and I went through it and hit it, and it threw me off. And Yep. So,
what'd you see at the drive-in? Tony notes that the Tech drive-in is for sale right now.
It is. They just put it up for sale a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The new Despicable Me movie, and then Inside Out 2 was after that.
We saw Inside Out yesterday. We took all the kids to see that. So it's very, very nice. Highly recommend.
What do you say the four of us get together and we buy that drive-in?
Let's do it. I don't want to see it go away. Like the one, they had one here in Eau Claire, mm-hmm. and you know, that got gone away and sad. Drive-ins are so fun.
You ever tell that story about when I was at the drive-in and, you know, my mom was newly divorced and dating some guy and us kids were just being little idiots, just being little monsters. And at one point, we were sitting on top of the car because you could do that with cars back in the day because they only cost, you know, $200 and not $20,000. Anyway, a whole bucket of popcorn spills on the windshield, you know, down the windshield. And we thought it was the most hilarious thing when they turned on the windshield wipers and the popcorn is just going all over the place. But we never did see that guy afterwards. I don't know how that
happened. He tried yelling to you. You're like, all right, whatever, Terry.
On this day in 1981, the Go-Go's released their debut album, Beauty and the Beat.
I believe this was written by Jane Wiedlin, Wisconsinite.
Yes, it was.
This became the first all-girl band to have a number one album.
And the original version is a slow acoustic that's about an affair.
Really?
Yep. It's an affair that Jane Wiedlin's, I don't know if she is the affairer or the person is the affair. I don't, but it's about a
affair-y.
A forbidden tryst.
Well, now I got to go back and find that. On this day in 1978, after 6 months in the number one spot, the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever was finally bumped off the number one spot in the album chart by Jerry Rafferty's City to City album. We heard a cut from that earlier. On this day in 1776, church bells were rung throughout the land after the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence of the United States. The number one song this day in 1972 was by Bill Withers. This works well with the birds chirping at the coffee shop where Kristen is.
Yeah, right. Times in our
lives, we all have pain. Lean on Me, the number one hit in 1972. Younger folks in our audience going, wait, somebody did this before Club Nouveau? And yes, they did. Stop.
No young people said that, Pat.
Well, young compared to.
People in their 40s say that.
Yes, that hence young. That's what I mean, okay. Said the 60-year-old.
Okay, Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Birthdays today include Joan Osborne is 62. We'll play her song later, What If God Was One of Us. Melancholy One, this would have been Toby Keith's 63rd birthday today. He was born July 8th, 1961 in Clinton, Oklahoma.
I should have been a cowboy. I should have.
Toby Keith worked in the oil fields and a rodeo company before launching his music career in his 30s, and we lost him over the past couple of months. Let's see, Raffi, the children's singer. Is Raffi still popular with the kids? Selena, was Raffi a popular singer for Emery? Nope, big old nothing. He's 76, one of those during our daughter's time. That soundtrack was played over and over and over again. And finally, singer Beck is 54 today. On this day in 2011, the Space Shuttle Atlantis is launched in the final mission of the Space Shuttle program. And on this day in 1932, the Dow Jones Industrial Average reached its lowest level of the Great Depression, closing at 41. I mean, what's it now? It's in the 30,000s or something like 40, that?
Yeah, 40,000, 30, yeah.
Yeah, 41. On the National Day calendar, this is International Town Criers Day. Greg would have been a great town crier.
got a good voice. Yeah. For that.
I mean, on my bus in grade school, I was definitely a crier. But
you know. No.
That's a bus crier. That's different.
Yeah. You're very much a hear ye kind of person. This is National Blueberry Day. This is National Chocolate with Almonds Day, weirdly specific. National Ice Cream Sundae Day. National Freezer Pops Day. National Love Your Skin Day. And finally, Greg, it is still July, so it is Lasagna Awareness Month.
I think Pat, at the end of July, we should carve out just a moment during history and have a deeper understanding of lasagna awareness. I'll cue up some nice dramatic music. Be good to go, because everyone must be aware of lasagna.
Kristen's got to run off. Thank you, my friend. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Selena sticks around right after news here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.